So welcome to Sheep Farm Raw live stream. Thanks fellow creator traitors for tuning into this bullshit platform on a lovely summer's drought evening that's actually pissing down here in Yorkshire.
Is that better shut or open fire?
I don't know. I prefer, either way, I just prefer that than your armpit.
Goes a bit bright, goes a bit weird.
And tonight we're on episode 134. This is going to be Who Checks the Fact Checkers? Who checks the fact checkers? With me tonight, as usual, is our binocular nostrils. He's been out in his allotment today, growing his mango for his Gunga rice and pea. which piss are you drinking tonight?
I've got a bottle of Guvna. Remember someone recommended it?
Yeah.
I already drank it, but right. I just bought 12 bottles from...
12 bottles? Yeah. How long did that last you?
2 days. I'm joking.
I hate to think of those French people squashing them grapes with their toes. How many bottles are going to make for you? Sorry about that initial video there. Don't forget the... Don't believe the Matrix video. We have to go through it. You should have seen me trying to put it together. You just want to edit telly. I know Mark Bajerski was ready for. He's probably gone out now, kicking cats and stuff. I hope you're all right, Mark. I hope you've recovered.
It is hard watching that, isn't it? It's very hard.
I mean, if you think about, that's like 0.001% of all the nonsense that they pumped out across every platform, not just in the UK but across the world, and. That was a 30-minute segment of that. And imagine how much effort they put in to convince
millions and millions of our pounds.
Yeah, well, millions of more man-hours and effort and energy that they've just drained out of people. It's Sam Carno's in as well.
Just to force them to do something that they didn't really want to do.
Yeah, yeah. No, majority of people didn't want to do it. That's why they had to put that much effort in. Right up to point, what do you think about that? Them videos, especially the last one, that musical. Tingling your feet, tingling your toes. Mm. With some blue angel dust thrown into the mix.
Is that coincidental, you think?
Yeah, of course, it's all a coincidence.
I mean, does Jim Broadbent know what he was doing there? Was he a paid-up signed member, or was he just going along like everybody else, just hoping for the best? Just being, you know, I think he was doing his part. Same as that football guy. There's a football guy there as well, isn't there?
Jonathan Southgate, England football manager.
Oh, yeah, is he?
He's about as bright as an eclipse, isn't he? So
I've never seen him before.
Yeah, I like talking to you about sport. brings you back down to earth. But I don't know. Did most people? Do my neighbours know what they were doing? And yet, I've just been talking to somebody whose grandfather just had a stroke. You know, and he's been in hospital 16 weeks. Incontinent, having to be moved to a home, you know, a really active guy and all he was. Didn't use to shut up. And right. These are the stories that we're hearing now about, you know, after this, the fallout of all this nonsense. And the fact checkers were right in the middle of it. Just before we start, all the Mark Devlin Second Summer of Love are on sheepfarm.co.uk and on Podomatic, who have distributed them to Spotify, Amazon, Audible, and Google, and Apple, and a few other distribution podcast sites as well. There'll be no podcast this week, but I will put this live stream on the website, edited down, just the audio. I'd like to thank as well a couple of people for doing a couple of memes. I'll put this one up here. Future Ghost did this one. Revenge of the Nerds said it were inspired by that presentation that we did about 18 months ago on Rise Above, which I'm just rewriting, actually. I'm just tidying it up. So that's a good one with all these people. also, Anti-Covid did Only Pans. we all know about Jacko's OnlyFans account. But we've got Only Pans. Apparently, Only Pans does exist.
What, is it a pan company?
Yeah, right. I hope so. I hope so.
Some kind of S&M thing.
Yeah. Right, let's move on. So thanks for Future Ghost and Anti-Covid for that. And that's about it. Yeah, you've been doing some new sheep art as well. You did this one the other day. Greta Thunberg as a new character.
Yeah.
What's it called? Thunderberg.
Thunderberg. I'm trying to do, just as an angle, comic book covers. Like they look like vintage comic book covers. But it's quite good fun. And I'm going to do, can do more. Bitch tits, can do a lot of them.
Yeah, we get them all done, bitch tits. I suppose that's another one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super shit.
Passing around. Yeah.
Cool in the gang. Right, let's get this presentation up here.
I'm wearing a Sheet Fan merch as well. Inspired by the 1989 Batman time.
Right, so who checks the checkers? Having, you know, spent all that time on that Huxley Brave New World Order research, it struck me that we should probably include the news, especially after that three-part Mockingbird series with George Orwell, where the last one will be out next month about George Orwell's bloodline, which probably will be another 2 or 3 hour one. As we know, Orwell worked in the Information Research Department, which looks very, very similar to what the BBC are doing now with this Mariana Spring. And I'm going to play that Mariana Spring video just to get us in the mood for this nonsense.
Team of investigative journalists here at the BBC. We are also a new brand and we are a physical location above the newsroom in London. And the point of the team, as you said, is to verify video, to fact check, to counter disinformation and to analyse really complex stories so we can get to the truth of what's going on. Why does this matter? Well, mistruths can cause really serious harm to society and to the people in them. And so we want to show you our workings and really help you understand how we get to the bottom of what's happening. And I'm going to give you a bit of a flavour of the kind of work that the team are doing. So we're able to look at maps to geolocate specific situations, stuff that's going on. This is just a map of central London where we are now. And this is New Broadcasting House where I'm speaking to you from. And it's not so important perhaps for the centre of London, but it is when we're analysing war zones or what's happening in hard to reach places. And there's a story on the BBC website today. It's looking at Russian fortifications on the front lines in Ukraine. And you can read more about it there. And there are other ways that we also are able to interrogate what's going on, including on social media. I have some undercover accounts that I've set up for the BBC's Americast podcast. And we use these kinds of undercover accounts. These are the characters that the accounts to be able to really understand polarization online and how what's happening on our social media feeds and what we're being recommended and pushed to us can affect all of us. And they don't offer us a totally exhaustive insight into what's going on, but they can help us understand just how social media works. And then there's also investigating other mistruths and the real world harm they can cause. At the moment, I'm investigating the UK's conspiracy theory movement. I'm trying to understand more about how it's evolved and intensified since the pandemic here in the UK. I'm looking at the alternative media that finds itself at the heart of this movement and a conspiracy theory newspaper that's a part of that as well. I'm looking at the way that alternative media is funded. I'm looking at its impact on local communities. I'm looking at its connections with far-right figures and also its foreign links. That's for a podcast series that will be coming out in June. It's called Mariana in Conspiracy Land and it will be available on BBC Sounds, Radio 4, asking that question, could January the 6th or a German coup attempt like we saw there ever happen here?
Do you know you're part of a conspiracy movement, Chris?
Oh, good.
And all you traitors.
Why didn't she fact check that January the 6th nonsense? I've never seen anything so staged in all my life.
No.
So all they're basically why are the BBC doing that? Shouldn't that in that like MI6 kind of?
Well, it is MI6.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It is MI6, isn't it? The BBC is the intelligence services. That's the whole point. That's the thing that has jumped out in the. All the podcasts that we've done about that Huxley Brave New World Order, all these people are all intertwined with the CIA. So why should she be any different? And it seems that the BBC's Ministry of Truth mouthpiece there, Spring and all the other people there, funded by the government, funded by the taxpayer, just to spy on us and basically attack us. They're now the de facto disinformation experts, which again, that term itself, you'd have thought was an intelligence operation just, a disinformation expert would work for the intelligence operation.
It is an intelligence operation, but it's done on TV, which is weird.
Yeah.
And it's telling you that they're doing it. That's the strange thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, I suppose they want to warn people not to be a conspiracy theorist, don't they? That's the idea.
Scare people off, don't they?
Scare people off, yeah.
They want to scare people from actually going down the road that all us far-right traitors have gone down.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm obviously a member of the Ku Klux Klan. But I got in because they measured the circumference of my nostrils and apparently they were small enough for me to enroll.
If she comes after us, I'm going to play a race card.
Yeah, I'm going to play a race card. I'm going to pull my bottom lip down and show that Pirelli sign on my bottom lip saying inflate to £30. Anyway.
Someone put in the comments, humour will bring these down. Sorry, I didn't catch the name. But I agree, 100%.
Yeah, I do as well.
Need to laugh at. That's what I was going to say about doing cartoons of them. Yeah. I know it's trivial and small, but we need to laugh at these idiots, don't we? We need to laugh at the ridiculous scenario that they're doing an MI6 operation on BBC. It's insane.
Well, it's just insanity, isn't it? All of it's insanity. And it's interesting to use the word fact. I think we said this in one of the podcasts. I won't go into this a lot, but a fact is not the truth. It's just a group of evidence that they put together to try and prove the truth. And, I mean, I put here as an example, ask the Birmingham Six whether facts were the truth. You know, the invasion of Iraq. They were facts. That wasn't the truth. So anything that can be proven, which, again, doesn't mean it's the truth. It just means that you've either got more money or more power to prove that other person hasn't, and then you're guilty. Hmm. So if you own a TV network, you can prove a person in the street is guilty of something. Hmm. And that picture there, which we're going to come on to, was one of the early fact-checking pictures, actually, because that was done by a fact-checking company owned by a very wealthy French family.
What's that picture of?
That's the picture of, or one of the pictures, I'll do the next one as well. That's one of the pictures in Wuhan that they were saying that people were lying in the street dead.
Is that a person there, you think?
I don't know, but...
When they fact-checked it, what was the outcome?
The fact-check is that, there's one person, so they were making out that everyone were dropping dead from 91 Divock in the streets. And, you know, the fact-checking company is owned by a massive... In fact, the company we mentioned them, Matt Sergio mentioned them on the Second Summer of Love, Vivendi, that are part of Universal Studios.
Right.
So, the company that owned Universal Studios, or part of this, is got its own fact-checking company.
But they must have had a stronger strain of it in Wuhan for it to not...
Well, they were closer to the bats, weren't they?
Yeah. I suppose as it spread out and just like...
Vaporised. That green smog that went everywhere. From those planes that were spraying stuff. So how many fact-checking companies are there? I'll put that on, but I'll move on from that, otherwise we'll be here all night. How many fact-checking companies are there in the world? And I was quite surprised, actually. This is from Wikipedia. The list of fact-checking websites includes websites that provide fact-checking services about both political and non-political subjects. The Reporters Lab at Duke University maintains a database of fact-checking organizations that is managed by Mark Stenzel and Bill Adair. So there are 100 non-partisan organizations, fact-checking organisations around the world. 100. They need 100 fact-checking companies around the world. Mm. The lab's inclusion criteria are based on whether the organisation examines all parties and all sides, examines discrete claims and reaches conclusions, tracks political promises and is transparent about sources and methods, discloses funding and affiliations, which we will come on to. They do disclose them, but as we know, the people that are funding them and the people that are behind them are the very same people that were pushing all the nonsense in the first place. And whether its primary mission is news and information. So in the UK, there are several fact-checking companies. BBC Reality Check, which is part of that nonsense that Spring does. There's Fact Check Northern Ireland, or Fact Check NI, the first independent dedicated fact-checking service for Northern Ireland, launched in 2016. The Fact Check blog, which is based around Channel 4 News, and Ferret Fact Check Service, Scotland's first fact checker, launched in April 2017 after a grant from Google. So Google News Initiative, or Digital News Initiative, funded Ferret Fact Service.
Isn't it funny that they start to crop up in 2016-17?
Yeah, just to get warmed up, Chris. Just to get warmed up.
Just do a bit of shadow boxing before.
So the two big boys in Britain are Full Fact and Logically. I never heard of Logically. I've heard of Full Fact, but I'd never heard of Logically. And what I'm going to do is go into two of these Full Fact and Logically, and just show how they're funded, who's behind them, etc., etc. And it's quite interesting. We're quite interested, as it always is. So the guy that founded them is this guy called Lyric Jean, or Jane, J-A-I-N.
Hair.
Yeah, beautiful hair.
Yours used to look like that.
Yeah, mine used to look like that. I used to look like a Pasadena.
you wish.
Rocking Jeff. he founded Logically in 2017, and it's actually based in Brighouse, Chris.
Right.
It's a Yorkshire company. Eye for an eye, and Jack will know where that is. With offices in London, Bangalore, and Virginia. Where's the CIA based again? On Wikipedia, it said he was partly inspired by his grandmother's turn to misinformation before she died of pancreatic cancer. Apparently, a WhatsApp group that spread misinformation led her to replace her medication in favour of unproven alternative treatments. He also disliked the spread of misinformation in Britain around the time of Brexit and the referendum. On their bio on logically.co.uk or logically.com, Lyric is an entrepreneur and engineer who founded Logically in 2017 after observing the breakdown in public discourse during the 2016 US presidential election. So there's a lot of reasons why they say he set this up.
Here he is
having a podcast with our friend Robo Musk. I don't know who that other guy is, but and his lovely hair. I think it's a TEDx thing. He's been on TEDx as well. He first began identifying opportunities for early interventions during his time at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and is motivated by the impact Logically can deliver through human-machine collaborations to mitigate risks posed by information disorder. Logically now works with governments, businesses, and platforms around the world to uncover and address harmful misinformation and deliberate disinformation. So from 2017 to 2020, he started working with government. Because that always happens, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to point out that MIT is funded by government agencies like DARPA. And he got an MIT grant to set the business up. And InQtel also fund MIT so they can invest in technology businesses at seed level, at ground level, basically. Yeah. And then they go on to get more, raise more money. And in 2019, it raised £7 million just before 2020. The year before 2020, it raised £7 million. These companies like InQtel, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of InQtel in the chat, but InQtel was founded by a guy called Norman Augustine, and he's a member of the Atlantic Council, Council on Foreign Relations. He had a Homeland Security Advisory Council, and he was also president of Lockheed Martin. And he founded InQtel, which was part of It's part of the CIA. It's the CIA's venture capitalist arm.
Right.
Yeah. The co-founder was a guy called... so these are the guys here. So that's the Norman Augustine. This is the other co-founder, Gilman Lewis. He's a technology venture capitalist and a CIA agent who got his start as a video game designer. This is the guy we're talking to you about, Chris. And then co-founded and ran the CIA Venture Capital Fund in Qtel. He served on a number of boards, including Wizards of the Coast, Niantic, Total Entertainment Network, FSA Interactive. They're all tech companies, these. I'm not going to go on and say any more. These companies are all funded by the CIA's in Qtel. I couldn't find out whether logically was funded by them. But, I mean, all these tech companies, they basically funded hundreds of different ones. I wouldn't have been able to list them all anyway. There were that many that they funded. And in Qtel, it funded £100 million worth of seed investments a year, sorry, dollars, from the CIA into these universities. $120 million a year of seed investment for people who will go to university, get the degree, come up with a business idea, a bit like the Facebook thing. Mm. So, yeah. Early funding was is provided within the corporate group, within all these, by Sony as well. You know, so they get involved with companies as well as just being the CIA, is what I'm trying to say. I think they've made 350 investments since the setup, since 2006. So he invented flight simulators for Google Earth, right. That guy on the right-hand side there. And a guy called Michael Crow is chairman of the board for Qtel, and he's part of the CIA. Well, so anyway, I'm just saying that's where a lot of these firms get their funding from. In 2020, Logically raised another $2.77 million. And as of 2020, Logically had 100 employees. So from 2017, yeah, no startup, now it's got 100 employees. I mean, that's some rapid growth, that, for a company that doesn't make any money.
Hmm.
Logically helped The Guardian disprove claims of the new technology on the new masts, which I'm not going to mention, that was connected to the arm spears. So it disinformation that. In 2021, it also began selling its services to governments and NGOs. The company claimed its software can categorise disinformation narratives as they are being woven. Logically is one of many companies hired by TikTok and works to curtail disinformation on social network. The New Yorker noted its tracking of disinformation related to healthcare and the 91 Divot nonsense. The BBC has also used and cited Logically's research in tracking the rise of pro-Russian accounts linking Ukraine to Nazi ideology. So the BBC in the 2010s actually did documentaries on the Nazis in Ukraine, and then they used Logically to claim, to prove that it wasn't true. How does that work? Anyway. In 2020, Logically raised another just under $3 million from Northern Powerhouse Investment Fund and XTX Ventures. As of 2020, Logically had only 100 employees. Now it has 200 plus. So within space of, what did I say, 2017, it's got 200 plus employees, Chris.
You get the strong impression that it's military and it's and we're the enemy.
Only a small part, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, yeah. You don't fund something like that, right, and it doesn't work.
No, it was never going to fail, was it?
No, we can't fail.
In my idiocy, right, so they were set up, like you say, like Facebook and stuff, and then all of a sudden they start working for governments. Is that right?
Yes, right. Just like Facebook and Amazon. Yeah. Amazon has some of the servers, the CIA uses the servers. I wonder what for? Maybe to buy stuff.
Well, I remember some time ago.
Bounty castles or something.
I think I bought a Kindle Fire. And it started asking me, and we're going back quite a few years here, started asking me what books I'd liked or read. Da, 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 da. Mm. And there were quite a few conspiratorial ones in there. Then all of a sudden, it started asking me about these like Muslim extreme books, if I like them. I always thought that was quite odd.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they were trying to link the fact I bought some conspiratorial books, and I think I played around with it a little bit as well, to be fair.
Well, imagine the information that it's gathering. I mean, we spoke about this recording the other night, the data that they gather these places. Anyway, these investment companies, like the Northern Powerhouse Investment Fund, and I've heard of them from my Business Times, has £500 million worth of funding from the UK government, the European Regional Development Fund, the British Business Bank, and the European Investment Bank, which is a World Economic Forum partner. So them four entities there have put money into the MP, the Northern Powerhouse Investment Fund, and then they've invested in Logically. So you can see the distance that they put between themselves. You don't directly see them. It just looks like Northern Powerhouse has invested in them, when in reality, there's all these other entities behind them that are actually investing in it, really. To summarise, I would say Logically looks like a CIA front, at least a CIA. Now it's got British investment and European investment. You'd actually say it's probably European intelligence service as well. But there is certainly something there for it to be allowed to collate all this data. It's basically mining data, isn't it? And changing people's opinion. So it were apparently set up because he were worried about disinformation. Now it's blocking truth.
Yeah, and the little emotional story about his grandma or his mother, whatever.
Yeah. Well, maybe some of that's true and that's what sets him off. But he maybe got corrupted further down the line or what have you. But, yeah.
He might think he's doing a good thing.
He might think he's doing a good thing. In June 2020, the International Fact-Checking Network certified Logically as a fact-checker. The certification, so now you need to be certified as a fact-checker, Chris. You can't just become a fact-checker.
Maybe we should go for one and get a little certificate behind us.
Well, I got my Tufty one when I was swimming. So now you're going to be certified as a fact-checker, and it was renewed in 2021, and you'll be pleased to know it's been renewed in January 2023. So they are bona fide fact-checkers now, Chris.
If there's truth, you don't need anyone to check any facts, do you?
Of course you do. You need the facts. I mean, look at the weather, right? You need that checking, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean the weather. Obviously, I need to check because you can't just look out your window and see that it's pissing it down.
No, no. Why care? Why do you care?
Things are going on somewhere else.
So that spun me off. Who is the International Fact Checking Network? Well, the International Fact Checking Network is actually called the Poynter Institute for Media Studies, which is a non-profit, non-partisan journalism school and research organisation in Florida in the US. The school is the owner of the Tampa Bay Times newspaper and the International Fact-Checking Network. Non-for-profit, Chris.
Nice little upside-down style logo.
Yeah. No. It's just a non-for-profit, Chris, and it's bipartisan. It doesn't, you know, it owns a newspaper, but just put that to one side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just put that to one side, ignore that bit. Set up by media moguls, Nelson and Henrietta Poynter, they met when they were both working for President Franklin D. Roosevelt and his re-election campaign in 1940. They collaborated on a number of projects for the U.S. Office of War Information. During World War II, she was the assistant program chief for the Voice of America, that established several overseas branches and launched a large-scale information and propaganda campaign abroad. They're looking after the facts, Chris. This organisation, founded on fantastic, firm beliefs of facts and truth. Either way, the two founders of the Poynter Institute of Media Studies, Nelson and Henrietta, both long dead now, worked for the named militarized propaganda broadcasts, and their institute now runs the International Fact-Checking Network. The Poynter Institute for Media Studies also operates PolitiFact. PolitiFact.com is an American non-profit project.
PolitiFact.
There's the Poynter Institute. I mean, you can check all this stuff. Is it interesting? I don't know, but it's interesting to know behind who the people are behind these.
I like the motto of that. Democracy needs journalism. Journalism needs pointer. Just a pointer in the right direction.
Yeah. I've got two pointers. Yeah. It's in 2015, the Institute launched the International Fact-Checking Network, IFCN, which sets a code of ethics for fact-checking organisations.
Yeah, they need some ethics.
But what I don't understand is, so let's just say you set a fact-checking company up in Nigeria, for argument's sake, or anywhere in the world, why would you need to get a certificate from somebody from Florida?
So that's the way it works, isn't it? It's the same as medical industry, anything. You know, you need a you need a certificate. You need an acclamation telling you that it's all right for you to do it. And if not, you're not all right to do it.
But, I mean, the IFCN reviews fact checkers for compliance, that issues and issues a certification to publishers who pass the audit.
Compliance.
Certification, yeah. The certification lasts for 1 year and fact checkers must be re-examined annually with some rubber gloves. is that annually or annually? To retain their certificates. Google, Facebook and other technology companies use IFCN's certification to vet publishers and fact-checking contracts. And for fact-checking contracts. Poynter receives funding from corporations, philanthropic organisations and government agencies. But Chris, it's right in the middle. It doesn't sway either way, but it gets all its funding from the same organisations that we talk out about that it's fact-checking against. And there's a list of them on there. As you can see, second one down, Bill and Melvin's Gates' Foundation. These are just a few. There's TikTok, there's Abidia Networks, Open University, Lumina. There's Google.
I don't want to point out the obvious, but when we're living in a world of absolute bullshit and the media just talks absolute bullshit, you need fact-checkers, don't you?
You do. You just need
the only time you need them, isn't it? When everything's a lie.
Yeah.
I know I'm pointing out the obvious, but...
Yeah, but yeah. That's when you need them. You do need them then. So we'll come on to the next one. Full fat. I keep calling it full fat and carry on calling it full fat. Another company... /charity, NGO, who gained the International Fact-Checking Network certification is Full Fact. In March 2017, the International Fact-Checking Network was certified Full Fact as an official fact-checker. So who is Full Fact? Their motto is, I like this, bad information ruins lives. It promotes hate, damages people's health, and hurts democracy.
That's catchy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Just rolled off my tongue out my rubber lips.
Tagline.
Yeah. Yeah. Described as an independent? When they use that word, one thing you know they're not.
Is independent.
Described as an independent fact-checking organisation based in the UK, which aims to promote accuracy in public debate. Launched in 2009, the word independent needs fact-checking itself, I think. This is another one of those words where independent, the actual meaning, is free from outside control, not subject to another's authority, not depending on another's money or whatever for their livelihood or subsistence. Full Fact was founded, as I said, in 2009 by philanthropists Michael Samuel and Will Moy. Full Fact has 18 staff as of 2019 and is now, it was set up as a company initially, but now it's a registered charity.
Charity?
Yeah, it's a charity. This is Will Moy. He was the ex-chief executive of Full Fact. And I tried listening to a few of his talks, but I couldn't get my one. Put you through it.
How do you get these jobs?
Well, we're gonna have a conversation about that. Will Sir, if you look at people's, sometimes when you look at the background, you get a picture of how they've sort of got into these positions. He served on advisory groups for the Economic and Social Research Council, the ESRC. Also, on groups like Ofcom, the Pew Charitable Trust, and the UK Treasury, and regularly gives evidence to select committees and other inquiries. He has also advised the Office of National Statistics on a communications review. Before Full Fact, Will worked in the House of Lords for non-party affiliated peer Lord Lowe of Dalston and for the Parliamentary Advisory Council on Transport Safety. The Economic and Social Research Council, formerly the Social Science Research Council, is part of the UK Research and Innovation, UKRI. It provides funding and support for research and training in social sciences. It is the UK's largest organisation for funding research on economic and social issues. And we've mentioned, we've come across this one before, and I think in, way back in Chris Whitty's podcast we did, and in a few of the other ones, these government bodies that nobody's ever heard of, they've got literally billions to throw about. Mm-hmm. And people like this guy, faceless individuals, then go on to open up these offshoot charity type organisations, think tanks or whatever, that we don't know nothing about. I mean, like, a lot of these people, like him, when you hear him talk, he's obviously not comfortable in front of a camera. It's like they've been thrown into a, into this position. Normally they'd be under a rock somewhere running these companies and nobody would ever hear of them, would they? But because people look into them, they, you know, they end up at the forefront and they don't look comfortable. What I found interesting about this ESRC, Economic Social Research Funding, is that it was set up in 1981. The Education Secretary, Sir Keith Joseph, asked Lord Rothschild to lead a review into the future of the SSRC. The social science is one of those branches of science devoted to study of societies and the relationships among individuals within those societies. Interestingly, again, this chap, and I'm not saying he worked for him, he didn't, but this chap here that Thatcher's next to, while she was in power, anyway, Keith St John Joseph, Baron Joseph, was a British politician, intellectual and barrister. He co-founded the Centre for Policy Studies, which we've also mentioned before, where a lot of these Tories go, and it's like that think tank where they all go and come out the other end. I think Zahawi went, and Cameron, and all these people there. And I'm not Tory bashing, because I'm not Labour either, so I don't think I'm just Tory bashing. I've got no interest in any of these normskies. I'm being polite there. Anyway, this Baron Joseph, he served as minister under four prime ministers, Harold Macmillan, Alec Douglas-Home, Edward Heath, and Margaret Thatcher. In 2014, Anthony Gilberthorpe, a Tory activist, failed parliamentary candidate, accused Joseph of being present at parties where sexual abuse of underage boys took place, along with naming others in the cabinet of the day. Gilberthorpe accused Joseph of being a paedophile. This guy here, though, who accused him, he was apparently supplying rent boys to these people.
Right.
These are these, I'm not saying this guy we're talking about, Wilmore, I'm not saying he's involved by a long shot. I'm saying the organisations, this is what they're built upon. So he also worked for the Pew Charitable Trust, and I'll just mention a little bit about this. Again, have you ever heard of the Pew Charitable Trust, Chris?
No.
Never heard of it. And these people have, the Pew Charitable Trust is a non-partisan public polling and think tank that operates as a subsidiary of the Pew Charitable Trust. Oh, sorry, the Pew Research Centre. And this works as a subsidiary of the Pew Charitable Trust. Its budget is £374 million, and it has an endowment of $6.7 billion. Sorry, never even heard of it.
No.
And it's got $6.5 billion to throw around. That's who these people work for. So this is the current head of Full Fact. He's the interim chief exec, Andrew Dudfield, while they're looking for a permanent replacement. Dudfield has led Full Fact's artificial intelligence team since 2019. developing technology to tackle misinformation at internet scale by serving the needs of fact-checkers around the world. And it was previously the chief publishing officer of the Office of National Statistics, and prior to that spent a decade working in product and technology roles at the BBC. The door keeps revolving. And no wonder the BBC use Full Fact. Full Fact offers staff 3 month secondments to statisticians working in the government statistical service. And so you can basically go from full fact into the government and their stat service. Yeah. Run by this guy, Ian Diamond. And he went to London School of Economics. He was chief executive of that, the Economic and Social Research Council that I just mentioned, where that Will Moy worked. No link there. And it's now part of the UK Research and Innovation team, where Diamond is also a board member. So this Will Moy worked at both sides, and then he goes on to set Full Fact up, yeah, where now they can second staff to go and work for this guy again. It's like a revolving door. It's just a revolving door. Diamond's other appointments, so he's got another other appointments, where he's the chairman of the Research Council of the UK and vice chancellor of the University of Southampton, which was also funded by DARPA. And Berners-Lee worked there, Tim Berners-Lee, when they did the Facebook, well, it was LifeLog at that point, research that went on to become Facebook. So the other Full Fact co-founder was Michael Samuel, and it's an interesting link between the two, how they met. Moy and Samuel were introduced by a lady called Julia Neuberger and began working together. Interestingly, Baroness Neuberger, there she is, the daughter, a maiden named Schwab.
Right.
I can't make this stuff up if I wanted to. She's the daughter of art critic Liesl Alice and civil servant Walter Schwab. Julia married Professor Anthony Neuberger. One of the brothers is David Edmund Neuberger, or Baron Neuberger, of Abbotsbury. He's an English judge. He worked at the merchant bank N.M. Rothschild & Sons from 1970-73. They originate from Bavaria. Baroness Neuberger also attended the World Economic Forum in Davos in 2006. The Schwab Trust, which supports and educates young refugees and asylum seekers, was later set up in her parents' name. I could have gone on deeper here, but I'm not going to go because I've got too much to go through. You see where that could be headed. So Michael Samuel, seen there, is the younger son of Peter Samuel, the fourth Viscount of Bearstead. So this guy's the co-founder of Full Fact, who was an executive of Shell, and his wife Elizabeth, she was the daughter of Baron Cohen, a barrister and judge. Elizabeth Cohen's paternal great-grandfather was financier Lionel Lewis Cohen, the founder of Lewis Cohen and Sons, who were foreign bankers. Lewis Cohen served as a trustee and later manager of the London Stock Exchange. Michael Samuel, obviously educated at Eton. The Samuels are part of the Hill Samuel Banking Dynasty, which is now part of the Lloyds Banking Group. It was formerly a leading British merchant bank and financial services firm. His brother Nicholas is the current Viscount Bearstead. We'll come back to him in a sec, actually. I'm going to come on to this one here. Michael Samuel is married to this lady here, next to Princess Diana. Julia Samuel, MBE. Julia is a philanthropist, psychotherapist, and paediatric child counsellor. She's one of several godparents to Prince George. Julia Samuel is the daughter of James Guinness, a banker, and his wife, the former Pauline Vivian Mander. Guinness is a member of the banking dynasty of the famous Guinness family, founders of the Guinness Mahon, in 1836, which descends from Samuel Guinness. So these are the people behind Full Fact. As we know, the Guinness family is an Irish family that are famous for their ale. But they're also linked intrinsically to the Rothschild family. The founder of the dynasty, Arthur Guinness, is confirmed to have had MacCarten origins, or Clan MacCartens. They were lords of parts of Ireland, kings of parts of Ireland. French President Charles de Gaulle also comes from there, and I'm sure there was a link there to George Orwell as well. But yeah, some of them founded the SAS. I think one of her, anyway, linked to the SAS. So yeah, you can see they're quite a heavily linked family. But his father was one of the heads of the Royal Dutch Shell Group, which was created in 1907 and was then bought by the Rothschilds. Beginning to see a pattern, Chris? Who's controlling all this stuff? So we come to funding. Who funds these freaks? So Full Fact has been sponsored to develop AI fact-checking tools by Amidia Network and Open Society Foundations. Amidia Network is a self-styled philanthropic investment firm composed of foundation and an impact investment firm. Impact investing refers to investments made into companies, organizations who fund with the intention to generate a measurable, beneficial social and environmental impact alongside a financial return. That sounds good, doesn't it, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Venture philanthropy is a type of impact investment that takes concepts and techniques from venture capital finance and business management. The term was first used in 1969 by John D. Rockefeller III to describe an imaginative and risk-taking approach to philanthropy that may be undertaken by charitable organisations. So from their own website, who funds Full Fact, it says, we're a registered charity and we're funded by people like you, by charitable trusts, and by other funders. We are committed to neutrality, independence, and transparency. So all donations greater than £5,000 are publicly available on our website. So this is one of the. These are a few of the funders here, and you can see that there's quite a lot of. This is, I think, what year was this? 2018, is it? Does it say?
2016.
So. There's a few of these. I didn't do them all, but it breaks them all down there. Amidia Network was founded by Peter Amidia. I mentioned him before, and his wife Pam. Amidia Network has committed $1.5 billion to non-profit organisations in that type of investment. Pierre Amidia was a young global leader in 1999. He's the 220th richest person in the world. He set up eBay, and is worth about $9 billion. Open Society Foundations, as we know, it was set up by George Soros. I think it's got $18 billion in it, something like that. And Soros is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Both his sons, Jonathan and Alexander, were World Economic Forum Young Global Leaders. Other funders of Full Fact are Facebook, Google, Ballygifford. If you've never heard of Ballygifford, they're a massive hedge fund investment company. WhatsApp also fund them. I mean, you can just go on the website and have a look at who funds these people. If you wanted to make it up, you couldn't actually make it up.
It was Nuffield that says that a few times. is that medical?
I would have thought so. I don't know. I didn't look into them all, Chris. So is Full Fact purely independent?
Is it bollocks?
Can't be, can it? If even by publishing them and saying they're open and honest, on January 11th, 2019, it was announced that Full Fact will be providing fact-checking services for Facebook. In In January 2022, Full Facts signed a letter of fact-checkers calling YouTube to stop algorithms from suggesting videos of creators deemed to be spreading misinformation or disinformation. So this is who they are, you know? They're the... There's another one there. So we're going to come to the last one now. I came across this quite by accident, actually. When we were doing the Schwab, first Schwab one I did, going back 2 years ago, people were saying to me, Schwab were related to Rothschilds, because a Schwab married a Rothschild. Anyway, there's a website on, a Jewish memorial website, and it pops up, right? Because that many people has gone on to search it, whether Schwab were related to this. I'm not going to go into that, because that's a different story. But they had a fact-checking pop-up on the screen, and it was this factcheckafp.com, and it said that we fact-checked this and this isn't true. Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum isn't related to this. Anyway, I won't go into that bit because I think that's nonsense now. But I think he is related to him. But anyway.
But is it interesting that that fact-check thing, all it does is just say, that's not true.
Yes.
That's kind of all it does, isn't it?
I have not come... I might be wrong because I'm taking a right lot of notice, but have you ever known one that's come up and said, oh, that's true?
No. They're basically told to fact-check things that they don't want to agree with. Mm. So, for instance, in the middle of the nonsense, the one I heard was them talking about, when it was really going full throttle, talking about the yellow card system, saying that you can't trust it. But it was created by the government, but it's not trustworthy.
Yeah.
So why do they need to fact-check that?
Well, why aren't they saying, you can't trust it because of X, Y, Z, but somebody at the government should be locked up in jail because that's the only thing that you can use.
Yeah, or sorting it out.
Yeah. So, factcheckafp.com. AFP stands for Agence France-Presse, a French international news agency headquartered in Paris. It's an interesting family behind this, the Bollari family. And it was founded in... It was founded in 1835 as Havas. It's the world's oldest PR company and news agency. It's a French multinational advertising and public relations business. It operates in over 100 countries. I mean, if you were going to set up an intelligence network... to operate in 100 countries. And is one of the largest advertising and communication groups in the world, with revenues around $3 billion. Havas was acquired in 1998 by Vivendi, renamed Vivendi Universal Publishing, which owned a lot of the dance music and the music that we were talking about in those Second Summer of Love. And it became... Editis in 2004, and it's now in April 2022. Havas acquired UK-based digital agency and Google partner Search Laboratory. So these companies are buying all these businesses up, and this is the guy that heads this one, Yannick Bollari. He was a young global leader in 2008. He's currently the chairman and CEO of Havas, the fifth largest global comms company. And chairman of the supervisory board of Vivendi, a global entertainment media company. So his family, he's a shareholder in the family-controlled Bollari Group, chaired by his brother, Cyril Bollari. And he was a young global leader as well. So both brothers are young global leaders, and... their father is the old man of the business, if you like, Vincent, and he was a young global leader in 1993 as well. He's a French industrialist, businessman, media owner, billionaire. His estimated worth is $10 billion, or the family's worth. Through his father, Michael, so these own the French version, I suppose, of Fact Checkers, and they own massive media companies as well. How can you be allowed to own a fact-checking company and also own newspapers, television companies and all the other stuff that you're actually fact-checking. How on earth can you be independent? You can't, can you?
Quagmire of bullshit there.
Yeah. Yeah. So Bolair Group is a major shareholder in Universal Music Group. And he's a board member, I think, as well. And he's a board member of Vivendi and Canal Plus, so that's another TV company. Through his mother, Monique Follot, he descends from the Goldschmidt family. The Goldschmidt family is of German descent, originally from Frankfurt, known for their success in banking and finance. The family is interwoven with the Rothschild family, the Bischoffenheim family, and the Bartholomé family, one of the richest families of Monaco. Vincent started his career at the investment bank of, guess where, Chris?
What?
Edmund what? Rothschild. That's two mentions already in two fact-checking companies.
Hmm.
In 1975, at the age of 23, a general meeting of Bolair Group allowed Vincent and his brother Michael, or Michel, to take equal control of the company with their financier, Edmund de Rothschild. Vincent became a deputy director of Rothschild Bank. The company Bolair was founded in 1822, and it's now got revenues of $24.84 billion as of 2019. His maternal grandmother was Nicole von Goldschmidt. During World War II, she entered the secret services of Charles de Gaulle and the Free French in London. After the war, under cover of the Red Cross, she pursued a long career as a secret agent with French intelligence, notably as a liaison with her Israeli counterparts. Disinformation. She was a disinformation expert. Can you believe that, Chris? The influencing of public opinion. Anyway. So these are the people running these. I only picked three. She was also close friends of Edmund Rothschild and the parents of Antoine Barheim, former managing partner of Lazard Bank and the bank Lazard Banking Empire. The English branch of the Goldschmidts. Or the Goldschmidts, and their anglicised name of Goldsmith, starting with Frank Goldsmith in 1878. Its most famous 20th century member was billionaire Sir James Goldsmith, rumoured to be the father of Princess Diana, member of Le Cercle, and now Zach Goldsmith, also known as Baron Goldsmith of Richmond Park. Goldsmith is married to banking heiress Alice Rothschild. His uncle Teddy Goldsmith was an Anglo-French environmentalist, writer and philosopher. He co-authored the influential A Blueprint for Survival. He's a founding member of the political party People, later named Green Party. The Goldschmidt family is directly tied to the Rothschilds, and as I said, the other massive family, like the Bischoffenheim family, who were co-founders of the Deutsche Bank, etc., etc., etc. I could go on and on and on. These people are well connected beyond belief. So why did I pick this one? Well, at the beginning, if you remember, I mentioned that this AFP came up with the first images of the people lying in the street in Wuhan. AFP journalists, these guys here, Leo Ramirez, Hector Retamal and Sebastian Riese, were the source of one of the first propaganda stories starting the scare campaign of 91 Divok. Reporting from Wuhan, China, they allegedly, on January 30th, took a photo showing a man wearing a face mask cycling past an elderly man who had died on the pavement near a hospital in Wuhan. The photo and story were published by The Guardian on January 31st, 2020. Fact checking. Fact checking, Chris.
So they're saying that's true. They're saying it's real.
Well, the fact checking company, AFP fact checking website.
Put it out. Mad, isn't it? The power of a photo.
Power of a photo, yeah. I mean, nobody has a clue if that's real, staged, what it is, whatever it is.
Just put two guys in hazmat suits next to a guy lying down and you've got it, haven't you?
You've got it. You've got it. Yeah. Guy were riding past on his bike aimlessly. This is the Ministry of Truth, isn't it, on a scale that you can't even put into words.
Yeah.
100 fact-checking companies around the world, 100.
All churning out shite.
All churning out shite. It's a scary right? world. Yeah.
Pardon? Are you all right?
Yeah, I know. Anything you want to add to that, Chris?
No.
We're coming to the end there, really, of the show. I thought it'd take about an hour to go through that. I hope you enjoyed it. Sorry you had to put up with that 30-minute video. It is painful. It is painful watching that. But I think we've got to put this stuff down and call these people out because these people need calling out. It needs documenting and putting down not just the 30-minute video, but this fact-checking stuff because all the same people are behind it. When you look at who's behind the institutions, all the pharmaceutical companies, yeah, you've got BlackRock and all these other people, the same people are just behind everything. They're funding all sides, aren't they?
Mm. Yeah. The corruption runs deep.
Well, to them, it ain't even corruption, Chris. That's the thing, isn't it?
No. No, it's just covering all angles, I suppose, isn't it?
Of yeah.
Any the next bullshit story that comes up.
Yeah, the next bullshit story. All right, well, I'll put this out on Saturday. As I said, there won't be a live one on Saturday. You're jetting off anyway for a few days, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to Spain.
Yeah, you're going to Spain till next Saturday.
Yeah. Mrs. and child are already over there with their family.
Yeah, you're staying out at where?
I'm home alone for a week, and then I'm going over there for a week.
Home alone in his vest.
Getting lots of allotment done, lots of sculpting done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right then, guys, in the chat, thanks for coming and listening to us on this bullshit platform.
I didn't have much to do in that one, did I?
No, you didn't have much. You just come in, drink wine, smile.
Stare gormlessly at the screen.
Yeah, no new there. Enjoy the sangria, anti-COVID says.
Yeah, looking forward. I've actually not been abroad for over 3 years.
Since this, nearly 4 years.
I came back in, well, I went to Vietnam to see Seb, my son who sings the Sheep Farm tune. And I came back on January 2020. Opened up a metro coming back from London to Cambridge. And I remember it said, it had a story about, and I remember looking at it and thinking, oh, more bullshit. But then I had this flashback when I was on the plane, because it was a long haul flight. I was sat there and there was a couple next and I sneezed and this couple next to me started rummaging around in the bags and put masks on. And I remember thinking, it's a bit rude. And bear in mind, I've been in an island in Vietnam. I'd not heard anything about it. And it was beginning of January, end of January, sorry, 2019, 2020. And I just came back to a wave of shite.
Weird. Weirdness. Never take off anyway, that 91 Divock stuff. Yeah. Never take off.
That was my first reaction fire.
No will ever come of it, Chris. No will ever come of it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, then we'll check out. See you next time. Take it easy.
See you next time.
Bye. Young, be